Hello, welcome to the Highland Church Podcast.
So presents under the tree, it just gets me excited. I know I'm 50 years old now and I should get over that excitement of like, ooh, what's under there? But every time I see presents under the tree, I just get excited for two reasons. One, because I know what some of them are, and I know who's going to get them, and I know that they're going to enjoy them, and I'm just excited for that moment when they open it and get so much joy out of that. But I have to admit, I also get excited because I'm like, which ones have my names on it? And you're looking around, and you know, I have stopped shaking presents and trying to look under the wrapping, but I do look at the size of the box and think, I bet a new flannel's in there. I bet there's some warm, woolly socks in there. And those are the kind of gifts that get me excited at my age. And you just can't ever quite tell for sure, though. You're never quite certain what's in those boxes until you open them. And as we move into this Advent season, there is that same kind of expectation we can have in our hearts saying, God, I don't know what you have planned. I don't know what good gifts, Heavenly Father, you have for me. But I can trust you with them. I can trust that they are good and perfect gifts that come down from the Father of lights. That's what the Bible tells us. And we can know that God knows what's coming. Even if we're totally clueless and we can't figure out what's coming ahead of us, God himself has wrapped a present that is more valuable and better than anything we can imagine. And we're going to start looking at what that gift is and what God has done to prepare that gift for us. Our big idea today is Jesus' birth was planned by God for generations. God was wrapping the gift, shopping for the gift. I don't think he had to shop for himself, you know. But he was preparing. He was knowing ahead of time what was going to happen. And for those of you early planners who already have all your Christmas shopping done, I just want to say you are like God. Way to go. You are living like the Lord did. He prepared way ahead of time. If others of you are like me, and it's Christmas Eve, and you're like, shoot, not much is open and the shelves are empty, but I'm going to figure out something. Welcome to humanity, because that is what we do. But God plans ahead. God has planned for generations for Christ to be born in our hearts. Roughly a third of the Bible is prophecy. Prophecy that tells us what is going to happen before it happens. Prophecy that shows us God plans ahead and knows what he's doing. And it can bring us so much peace to see the ways God promises something and see it fulfilled in the real world. Our key verse today is from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, a man that God spoke to and spoke through to reveal his plans for the future. This was written in the year 739 BC. So basically 740 years before Jesus was born, this was written. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We sang a song with that word in it, Emmanuel. You may hear that and know, some of you know the definition of what that is, but others of you are like, that's just a Christmas word. We just, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. But this is what Emmanuel means, translated to English, God with us. That the name of Jesus, the way he lived out, the purpose of his life is that God would be with us. You see, before this, when this was written, before Jesus came, God was always there. He was over there. He was on a mountaintop. He was in heaven. He was in the Holy of Holies. He was in the cloud, or he was in the fire. But this promise that Jesus would be born of a virgin and his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. Biblical prophecy does a number of things. It warns us, it prepares us, it informs us, and it confirms that God knows what he's doing. And so today we're going to look at the prophecies that God gave to prepare for King Jesus to come. And what that means, some of you will love the details of the prophecy and the percentages and likelihood of it being fulfilled. Others of you will love to know that whatever's going on in your life, God has known for all eternity past, and he has a plan in place to walk you through it, to be with you in your valley, to be with you in your darkness, to celebrate with you in your joy. So the first thing we're going to look at is that God plans ahead. God is a good planner. He knows what he's doing. He is getting there before we even know it's possible. Okay, how many of you are planners? Let's see the hands. You just love it. You get excited when you get to put together a spreadsheet or a list or a to-do. You're like, yes, this gets me going. I love it. You are awesome people. I love planners. I love people who know what's going to happen and get there ahead of time and think it through and put in contingencies if this doesn't. Just incredible. God is a planner. God is there in his knowing and understanding before we show up. God doesn't make things up as he goes. He's not like, whoa, oh, didn't see that one coming. No, he knows it all. He's already understanding what you're going to walk into. I like planning. I've gotten really good at making lists with sublists and prioritization and all of that just because I need it or I cannot function. But if you give me a bicycle that's not put together, or you give me an IKEA project, I'm just going to start putting it together. I don't need the instructions because I've got a mind that can tick tock and figure it out. And I get halfway there and I have four parts that were on step two and I'm on step 14 and I have to deconstruct it and put it back together. That is not God. He is not having to undo to repair. He knows what's coming. He reads the instructions. I should actually say he writes the instructions for our lives, for our world, for all history and eternity. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Micah 5:2, written 735 years before Christ, says this, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." This prophecy speaks of a place, it speaks of a person, it speaks of a purpose that God's been preparing ahead of time. Yes, it speaks of a place, a person, and a purpose that God's preparing ahead of time. Let's look at it. It says Bethlehem. We know Bethlehem. If we know Christmas, that is the town where Jesus was born. Not the town where Mary and Joseph lived, not the town where he was raised, but it was the town he was born, and it was prophesied 735 years before his birth that Bethlehem would be where he would end up. That's just wild that that could be predicted like that. But it's also unlikely that he would be born in Bethlehem. It was 90 miles from where Joseph and Mary lived and where Jesus was conceived. There's no way at 8-9 months of pregnancy you would travel 90 miles. It made no sense, but God orchestrated the heart of the king, the heart of Caesar, to say, we will count everyone in our empire. And so they must return to their ancestral home to be counted. So because of a very inconvenient ruling by an ungodly ruler, God still got his work done. But I wouldn't even say still. I would say God knew that's what had to happen for this prophecy to be fulfilled. And when he spoke this prophecy to Micah, and Micah recorded it 735 years before Christ's birth, God knew exactly how it was going to work out. because God plans ahead. The person, he knew that Christ would be born. We don't fully understand it, but God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They have all existed as three in one for all eternity past. But I don't quite get it. If you have a perfect understanding of how the Trinity works, let me know. Because it is a beautiful mystery that Jesus would pray to God the Father, though yet they're one, but they still communicate to each other. The best I can picture it is there are times my brain has to tell my body what to do, and my brain talks to my body, or my body wants something and my brain doesn't want to do it, but I go do it anyway because I know working out, going for a walk is the right thing, and my brain's like, no, I just want to sit here. And my body's like, nope, we're doing this. That we communicate internally, but there's a perfect, beautiful communication and planning in the Godhead. So God the Father is planning these things. Jesus the body does them. And the Holy Spirit inspires and encourages us to draw close to him. And the purpose. What would Jesus do? He would be the ruler of Israel. And his origins are from ancient times. Jesus didn't show up when he was born. Jesus existed forever from ancient times, from before the beginning. Then back to Isaiah, the prophet we started with. Isaiah 46:10. I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient times, what is still to come. My purpose will stand and I will do all I please. God tells us ahead of time what he's going to do. When we need to know it, or if we need to know it. There are times God doesn't tell us what's going to happen because he knows if we knew ahead of time, we would not be in the right place for him to do what needs to happen. How many of you have ever had those kinds of moments where God's done something in your life and you're like, I wish you would have told me ahead of time? Anyone else? We're like, what? Huh? God, why didn't you tell me? And then I'm also going to ask, how many of you have sensed God telling you something ahead of time before it happened, and then you saw it happen? Yeah. God still speaks to us today. He still whispers to our soul. He still gives us signs. His prophetic work is still happening. Many times gently and quietly and humbly, he speaks to our hearts to prepare us for what he's going to do. But whether he tells us or not, God plans ahead. He's not playing hide and seek with us or guess what's going to happen or peekaboo. No, he is revealing what we need to know when we need to know it, not a moment sooner and not a moment later. There are times God speaks to us, but we're just not listening. We're such planners that we already have it figured out. Or maybe you love spontaneity and you're like, I don't want to know ahead of time. I don't want to know. Just surprise me. Just surprise me. And God's like, I'm trying to show you ahead of time to keep yourself from falling into a hole, from getting into financial ruin, to stepping into a wrong relationship, and you just don't do it. I remember during one of the times Christy and I had broken up, we broke up 5 times before we got married. We got it all out of our system, and now we're together for the rest of our lives. But during one of those breakups, there was this girl that I thought, I'm just going to date her. I'm just going to ask her out. I thought, I'm not even going to pray about it. This is one of the times in my life I'm just going to do what I want. It was a disaster. It was the most awkward, uncomfortable, unhealthy relationship I've ever been in my life. And about 2 weeks into it, I was trying to figure out how to get out of it. But she did not want to let go. And so this thing limped along for months and months as I tried to figure out how do I extricate myself from this relationship. Finally, I just told her, not even we need to break up, but we can't even be friends. It wasn't even the let's just be friends talk, which is bad enough if you've ever been on the receiving end. I said, we can't even be friends because she could not understand what I was trying to communicate. I wish I had just stopped and said, Lord, speak to me in this. What is your will? What is your plan? I ended up hurting her, hurting my future wife, hurting my roommate who had a crush on her, and hurting myself. And those are the only ones I'm aware of. I don't know how much other damage was done because I just refused to listen to the Lord and just thought, let's just do this. It'll be fun. So I want to encourage you. Ask the Lord to speak into your life. He's got plans. He's got purposes. Don't follow your heart. No matter what Disney tells you, the Bible tells us the human heart is deceitful above all else. Our hearts lie to us. Our emotions are meant to be dashboard lights that tell us what's good or what's wrong in the system. They aren't meant to lead us to do things. They're just information for us to process and make wise decisions then once we know, oh, this feels good. Let's actually check the levels and see if it's right for me to put more oil in or not. Ask God what to do. Ask the expert, the planner, what to do. Now, we don't need to know everything ahead of time. God doesn't tell us everything because he knows that's not good for us either. And we do need to learn to trust him, but God plans ahead. Secondly, God fulfills his plans. He's not just a planner of things that don't happen. He doesn't just put things on the calendar and then cancel them at the last minute. He does what he says he will do. He is faithful to it. And looking at these prophecies about Jesus coming, there's 8 key prophecies that speak directly to where, when, and how, and to whom Christ would be born. 8 prophecies in the Old Testament. We've already read a few of them. But 8 prophecies that prove this. Professor Peter Stoner, who graduated from UC Berkeley, which I can't think of a better name for someone who graduated from Berkeley than Stoner. But this professor wrote a book on statistics. He was a mathematics professor, but he also had a passion for scripture and understanding it. And he figured out the likelihood that these 8 prophecies would be fulfilled about Jesus' birth. And he came up with the percentage that was peer-reviewed and agreed upon by non-believers that this is the correct likelihood that all 8 of these prophecies would be fulfilled. And the likelihood is 1 in 10 to the 17th power, or 1 with 17 zeros after it is the likelihood of something of this possibly working out. I mean, 1 in 10 odds are not great odds to take, are they? If you're betting, don't bet on something that's 1 in 10. But 1, I can't even say the number. It's quadrillion. 1 in 100 quadrillionth chances that Jesus would fulfill these 8 prophecies. And it isn't just that Jesus himself, but that any human from the moment those 8 prophecies were mentioned until today, well, this was done back in 1998, until 1998, all those billions of people that lived would fulfill all 8 of those prophecies. Impossible odds, but not when you serve the God of the impossible. God accomplishes what he promises, and every new prophecy makes it less likely for them to be fulfilled. Every new bit of information that God reveals ahead of time makes the probability less and less, unless you serve a God who's set up the rules, served a God who understands the probabilities and the details, who understands the way the world works and in fact is authoring it, then every new prophecy adds to the likelihood that it will come to pass. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, again written 739 or 740 years before Jesus was born, tells us this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this." This passage is quoted so often at Christmas, but I think a lot of times we forget that it was written almost 800 years before Jesus was born. It was a prophecy. It was a plan that God revealed ahead of time. God fulfilled this plan, and others spoken about Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's just the probability of 8 prophecies being fulfilled. There are over 300 prophecies about Christ that have been fulfilled. 300. So the likelihood, I can't calculate. Obviously, I am not a professor of mathematics and statistics, but it is an incalculable number of how God has fulfilled his promises. It is reasonable to believe in Christ as Savior, as Lord, as risen from the dead, as a historical character, as the Son of God. It is reasonable. In fact, it's less reasonable to not believe in him than to believe in him, simply through the prophecies fulfilled by him. What a wonderful thing to know that God fulfills his plans. God does what he promises to do. He foretells it and then he does it. He promises it and then he accomplishes it. We can be confident. We can build our life on the promises of God, on the things that his word promises will happen. We can build our life on it because it is reasonable. It's a wonderful thing as we celebrate a baby born over 2,000 years ago to know that the plans and prophecies of God are not done being fulfilled, but that God's plans, the prophecies that he spoke, the promises that he gave, God's plans are for you. Yes, they're for others. Yes, they're for Christ to be born. Yes, they're for all eternity, but they're also for you. Sometimes at Christmas, the story gets so abstracted that it's hard to remember it is for us as well. That Christ was born for you and for me. Have you ever worked with a good travel agent? Someone that really knows their stuff? I have always been resistant because I'm like, no, I will figure it out. I'll find the best deals. I'll get it all figured out. I know what I'm doing. And yet, when I have trusted others to plan a trip, when I have trusted others to put things in place, it has always been better than I could have come up with myself. Why? Because they're professionals. They know where to get the best deals. They know where the places to stay are. They know what to do that I have no idea is even there to do. And you save money, and I'm not giving an ad. This is not sponsored by any travel agent in our community. I'm just saying they make the trip better. And I'm still learning to trust others in this because I want to be the one who figures it out. But God is our travel agent as we travel through time. As we take one step into the future, every minute by minute, we are moving into a future that we cannot predict, we don't understand, we don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now, but God does. We can make good guesses based on what we've experienced in our life, but all we have is our experience. All we have is information that we have read, that we have collected, but God is all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, and has good plans in store for us, and isn't trying to make money off of us. It's free, a free gift from God to help you know what to do with your life. God has good plans for you. Genesis 12:13, written 1440 BC. So that's 1,650-60 years ago. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. This is spoken to Abraham. Abraham, the father of many nations. Abraham, who, if you ever grew up in church and sang, Father Abraham has many sons. Anyone know that song? Many sons have father. Yeah, if you don't, it's one of those songs that they just sing in kids' church to wear the kids out. Because it's stand up, sit down, turn around, blah, 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 you know, all the actions. But the heart of it is that we are the children of Abraham. We have a connection to this ancient man who lived in Ur and was called out of the place he lived by a God he didn't know to go to a land God hadn't shown him yet. But Abraham said, okay, I'll go. Looked to his wife Sarah and said, we're leaving. And then some of his family members, his nephews, Lot, and his family said, can I come with you? I want to get out of here too. And if this is God leading you, I want to come on the journey. But that God would say this to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you, is a little confusing, because Abraham and Sarah had a lot of reasons, a lot of proof in their life that God could not do this. A lot of reasons that they're statistically off the charts to make this impossible. They were too old to have children. They were faced with impossible odds. They had left their home country. They had marital difficulties. There was lying in their marriage. They were unable to conceive. They had family issues where they couldn't agree, and there was arguments between them and their family. They were unable to obey God faithfully. They laughed at God when he promised them things. They stopped asking God before he gave the answer. Their faith was weak. And yet God was faithful. God allowed Abraham and Sarah, when she was 90 years old and unable to conceive, and Abraham was 100 years old, to conceive a child. That child's name was Isaac, and he grew and had children of his own, who had children of their own, who had children of their own, and cascading down through history, eventually one of their children's great, 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 great grandchildren was named Mary. And another great, 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 great grandchild was named Joseph. And those two were present at the birth of Christ. As Mary said, yes, Lord, let it be to me as you say. I trust your plans, even though they wreck my life according to my perspective. That me as a single woman engaged to a man in a culture that would stone me to death because I am pregnant without being married. Yet I will still follow your plans and allow myself to be the carrier of Christ. And Joseph, though he wanted to put Mary away quietly because he was ashamed that his fiance had cheated on him, by his own estimation and by everything that looked logical, it seemed there was no way. But God visited him and said, no, Mary is pregnant with my child. Take her. Don't be afraid. That these two descendants from a couple who was too old to conceive and had not been able to conceive their whole life, the impossible odds were stacked against them, yet through them, Christ was born. What impossible odds do you have in your life? What things have you just taken off the table that God could never use you for because you've messed up too much, you've been too unfaithful, the time has passed you by, up to this point all signs point to no for this in your life. You cannot conceive in your own wildest dreams how to unravel the mess you've made and to set things right. Trust God with those things. Ask God what his plan is in those areas of life. Jeremiah 29:11, written 630 years before Christ, is a verse that is read very often and misapplied sometimes, but is a beautiful promise. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This verse was spoken to the children of Israel while they were in a foreign land, being forced to serve as slaves and not being able to fulfill their faith the way they wanted to. They weren't able to offer sacrifices at the temple, which was the only way they knew to serve the Lord and to have their sins forgiven. They weren't able to have the freedom to do what they wanted with their lives. They were forced to serve others that didn't worship God, but worshiped idols and false gods. They were trapped. They were enslaved. They were unable to practice their faith and connect with God. And maybe that's how you feel today. Trapped. Distant from God. Confused about your future. Stuck in your past. Enslaved by your habits. Confused about your relationships. Financially devastated. Into that situation is when God spoke, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And as you continue to read scripture, you read that God set the Israelites free from this enslavement, free from this foreign nation that had all the power there was to have, and returned them back to Israel where they could practice their faith, they could love the Lord, they could be in community with those who still loved him. We see God fulfill those plans, and God today is the same God who promised these prophecies, who set the Israelites free, who carried the promise of Christ down through the generations to Mary and Joseph, who raised Christ from the dead after he had been nailed to that cross. He is the same God that hears your prayers, that hears your prayers when you can't even come up with words to say. He's listening. He cares. He has plans. Worship team, could you come? So when I say that Jesus' birth was planned by God for generations, I hope that speaks a little louder to you, a little more grand, a little more epic than it did when I first said it, knowing that God's promises are fulfilled, that God's plans are for us even when everything is against us, and that God's not done with you. He wants to speak to you through his word, the Bible, through his Holy Spirit in your heart, through others around you who care about you and love Jesus. He wants to speak into your life. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never asked Jesus to wash away everything you've done wrong, untangle the mess of life, and to lead you from this day forward to be your Lord, your God, and you want to do that today, I'm going to pray a simple prayer that just asks Jesus into our lives and to wash us clean of our past, that his plans would now come to pass. And if you want to do that, just pray this prayer out loud with me. In fact, I'm going to ask all of us, if you've already accepted Christ, to pray this prayer out loud. But for some of you, it might be your first time. Maybe you realized it's reasonable to trust God with my life. I invite you to join the family of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I need you. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I turn away from my own way of living and turn to you. You are my God and my King. Lead me from this day forward. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family of God. We realize that just that prayer doesn't fix everything, but it's a wonderful place to start. What we're going to do is sing a few songs, and in fact, if you could stand up with us right now, and those on the prayer team, come on forward. If there's something in your life that you need God to speak into, you need God's promise to show up to in your life, as we sing these songs, just call out to God. Ask God to meet you there. Maybe you want to come forward and pray with one of our prayer team about that thing. We would love to meet with you and pray with you. Maybe you just want to come to the front and just spend time in the presence of God. Sometimes just when we move to a new place, we're able to sense God more clearly. I've heard it say a change of pace and a change of place gives us a change of perspective. So Lord, as we come into your presence and sing, will you speak to us? Will you reveal your plans and your purposes in our hearts today? Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening, and please join us each Sunday at 10 a.m. for our worship service.